It's Parshas Chayei Surah, the life of Surah. So immediately after the Akedah, after Avraham Avinu comes back from Haran Moriah with Yitzchak, it's the end of Surah's life. And there's a connection. You know, we've heard different Torahs over the years over what the connection between the most awesome connection that I ever heard was that Sarah was the only one who really understood how big the Akedah was going to be in history, in Judaism, in for Yidden, for Yiddishkeit. And she stopped to think what the implications are. That, you know, we talk on Rosh Hashanah, we talk about the Akedah again and again. Akedos shel Yitzchak, Lezaro shel Yaakov Tiskor, and the shofar that we blow is the shofar, and in the future Mashiach is going to be the other shofar. And so in, and Sarah asked herself, why does God need this level of sacrifice to be megin, to shield the Jewish people that always will be able to call on this Akedah and mention it? It becomes part of our iconography. It becomes, before we start davening in the morning, we say the brochos, basically, thank you God for waking me up, for giving me life, for giving me a pair of shoes and so forth. And the next thing, it's like, and we mention the Akedah, you know. And Sarah really knew what it means to Avraham, what Yitzchak means to Avraham, or what it means to be in that place, to be able to take your son and offer him up on the altar for God, l'shem shemayim, for the sake of heaven. And she knew how big the act of the Akedah is. And she said to herself, why would we need an act so big? Why would we need such a big zechus, such a big merit? What's going to happen in the future to my kinderlach that they would need to be able to come to God and say, Ribbono shel Olam, look at the Akedah, look at what it means to history, look at what it means to you, God, look at what it means to the universe, that this act of sacrifice and worship and selflessness and self-denial and this annihilation of self, that we should be able to or need to say to God, look at it. What kind of trouble are we in? What kind of calamity or disaster, or what kind of situation are we in that we need to say to God, Ribbono shel Olam? And she realized, Sarah realized what nobody else at that time, Avram and Yitzhak, didn't realize. That we today, that we in history, I'm not going to have any words that we could say to God, but Ribbono shel Olam, look at the Akedah and what it means and what we're ready to give. You ask so much, Ribbono shel Olam, look, we already gave. And if we reach a situation where that is all we can say, Ribbono shel Olam, look, how much trouble are we in? How great are our needs? And what's the chasm in front of us opening up to swallow us that we should have to turn to heaven? And Sarah said, oh, my kinderlach, what future? What are they going to have that they would need such an Akedah? And the shock of the realization of what the future is going to hold, she couldn't stand it. She died. As a mother, she foresaw all the history that we've been through with Avram and Yitzhak. Maybe they could see, but they couldn't see it like Sarah could see it. Like the Piasetzna talks about the Gemara says, Rabbi Yevi says, Aisev Eloi Achimenu, we're talking, or is it Rabbi Yosef, that talking about the times of Mashiach, and he says, ah, I don't want to see it. I know it's coming, but I don't want to see it. What was it that Piasetzna says? It's like Sarah. You know, that the times are coming, we know they're coming, but you know, to have to see them, Chazoin is the most difficult kind of nevuah prophecy, because Chazoin means to see in a way that you mamish see, to have to witness like you and I are witnessing in the world, where we know we don't just know what's happening to the Jews on the other street in the village. We don't just know what's happening. We know it's happening every place in the world. And the awesome, you know, the awesome, it's hard to believe how the world experiences the Jewish people. You know, we live, Baruch Hashem, in America, but we can't be unaware of what's going on in the world. So Sarah had that kind of vision, like we have the capability of seeing today. And for her as a mother, it was unbearable, so she died. You know, there's a Torah, a story of the Rebbe Rabbinim. One day, the Rebbe Rabbinim says to his chevra, come on, call the coach, let's get on the coach. And they all get on the coach, and the wagon driver drives them, and they come to an inn on the outskirts of the forest. And the Rebbe gets down, and he shushes everybody, be quiet, be quiet. And he walks over to the window of the inn, and he, without showing himself, he listens and watches. And there, sitting with a tankard of beer on one side of the table, is a yidl, and sitting facing him with a tankard of beer is another yidl. And they look so pushy, they look so simple, they look like two woodchoppers who stop during the day, and they're meeting in the bar, you know, for a drink to cool off, parch the thirst. And the Rebbe listens. And one of these woodchoppers says to the other, "Nu, you learned some chimish?" The other one says, "Yeah, I learned some chimish. You learn?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Nu." He says, "I was learning, but I have a big question." The other one says, "You have a big question? I have a big question." "What's the question?" In last week's Sedra, it says that Avraham made a covenant with Avimelech. Yeah, Avimelech, what was Avimelech? Avimelech is a man that when he sees a beautiful woman, you know, he sends his soldiers to go and get her and bring her to his whatever, palace, whatever. It's hard to believe that this king had a real palace, but he must have something going for him. He was the king, right? He was the Avimelech of the Philistines, right? He heard about Sarah, he sent for her, right? And this is the man with whom Avraham makes a covenant. What's a covenant? A bris. Avraham knew what a bris really means. How could he make a bris with Avimelech? That's what one of these guys sitting there with his beer says, and the other one nods. Yeah, he nods, takes a sip of beer, you know. As I tell you, he says, I'll tell you what my question is. The Torah tells us that Avimelech returned to Gerar after he made a covenant with Avraham. He just, Vayoshev Avimelech, and he just went back home. He says, I don't understand. How could Avimelech just go home? I mean, you've made a covenant with Avraham Avinu. How could you be the same person and just like say, bye, see you later, I'll send you a postcard from Gaza? Like, what? Avimelech, you have Avraham Avinu makes a covenant with you and you just turn around and say thank you and goodbye? Like is that insane or what? I mean, if Avraham Avinu made a covenant with me, I would move in. You know, it's like, what are you going to do? You got a covenant with me. What are you going to, you're going to drive me away now? Like, you're the tzaddik. Well, I'd be living somewhere on a sofa in your living room. You know, it's like, what? You made a covenant with me? That's it. I'm living here. How could he just leave? How could he just be the same person? And the other guy, the other woodchopper, nods his head. Yeah. And the Rebbe Rebbudim quietly turns to his chassidim and says, come on, let's go. And later he explained to them, he says, you see, the answer to one question is the other question. You know how Avraham Avinu could make a bris with Avimelech? Because Avimelech's the kind of person that you can make a bris with and he just turns around and goes home. he had no idea what he had just been given. So Avraham Avinu wasn't afraid to, you know, make this covenant with Avimelech, because Avimelech wouldn't understand what he's just been given. It's like, it's as though he didn't get it. He didn't get it, right? The two questions answer each other. You don't know what you have, then you didn't get it. If you didn't get it, what's the point? And you know, everything that happens to us in life is not as important as what we see happening. Like we were saying last week, you know, we don't see the world as it is, we see the world as we are. We don't see God as who God is, we see the God as who we are. And that's the strength, and that's the weakness. The strength is that God is not the other, right? God is inside us. Who we say God is, that's who God is. That's what God says to Avraham Avinu. It was all very nice up to now, seeing me as the creator of the world, and this, it's very nice, right? But that's for Goyim. That's for the whole world. Now you're becoming a Yid. Now it's umibsori echze. It's in your flesh now. You have to see it from you. You have to see me, God says. You have to see me from you, who you are. The Zach is, you know, and that's still true. It's still true because we're Yidden. And God is waiting for us to tell him who he is. Navos, I don't know who I am. I don't know who I am. So I end up with this God, right? Who keeps me in Gulis for 2,000 years. I was walking home from shul this morning. I started laughing. People on the street start looking at me like funny. I thought to myself, oi Hershey, you've become one of those people who's talking to themselves on the street. Oi, the next thing you know, you'll be walking around with one of those trolleys and... So what was it, you know? It suddenly occurred to me, Rabban Shalom, Master of the Universe. The way we've set up Judaism now is like, well, you know, God can't help it. God can't help it. the way things are run is because we've got the teva, we've got nature, we've got all this punishment, we've got all this stuff, we do all these averas, and God really can't help it. You know, the world is the way it is because, you know, it's that laughing, you know, like, oh, Rabbeinu Shalom ken zechus helfen, right? God can't help himself, right? Can't help himself because he's stuck, you know. But we human beings, yeah, we can help ourselves, right? Yeah, sure. We've got to expect much more of ourselves, and we've got to do much better, and we've got to get a, pull our socks up and lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Yeah, we can expect it of ourselves because, well, you know, we're in charge. You know, we can do something about it, right? So God can't do anything about it, right? God's like this helpless. We've infantilized God with this system, you know. That God can't sich nicht helfen, but Hashivach can sich helfen. Yeah. God's not responsible for what's going on in the world, but Hashivach is responsible for what's going. I mean, you know, I started to laugh because, like, it's such an absurdity. We've created an. And nobody's allowed to point out that this picture of God, you know, as being stuck in this system of Elohim, the judge, the Hateva, and all this stuff, and can't really do things differently. Can't, you know, because this... but you and I, we could definitely do things differently, and every day we strive to do things differently, and... You know, so God is even less powerful than me, you know, or else I'm saying that really I'm more powerful than God. And you know, that's so silly. That's so silly. So then what is going on if God is all powerful? You know, it's like I'm ready to say that in the abstract God is all powerful. Koil Yochol is the creator, and nobody can stop him or make him do something, right? But really, I don't believe it in my heart, right? Because if I really believed it in my heart, then God would actually be all-powerful. You see, the system we've set up for ourselves of belief in God, we believe the God that we believe in is powerless. No? And we wonder why we're stuck in gulas after 2,000 years. It's because the God that we've imagined doesn't have any choice but to do that, you know. You know, the more I think about it, the more I feel like, oi, Heshi, where are you going? But here, you know, the Medrash says this week, it says, there's a Medrash Tanchuma, or is it a Medrash Rabu? It's a Tanchuma. Va'Avraham Zokein Bo Bayomim. Avraham is old, getting on in days. So, you know, the Gemara says, Avraham is the first one to experience Zikno. He's the first one to get old. You know, so first of all, you know, it's the Gemara. How can you argue with the Gemara? But come on, you know, till Avraham nobody got old. I mean, it's one of those things that you can't argue with since the Gemara says it, but the Rebbe Rabbunim says it can't mean just literally, and he brings a great proof. The Pasuk says, V'Avraham Zokein, Avraham is old, Bo Bayomim, getting on in days, getting on in years. But if he's getting on in years, he's old. What do you need to have both of them? So the Rebbe Rabbunim says, obviously, Avraham Zokein doesn't mean getting on in years. They're two separate things. And he says, that Avraham Zokein means something other than old age. It means Zikno, it means something You know, the Gemara says, what is zikno zekona chochme? It's, I mean, certain kind of wisdom that comes with age. And so the Gemara is telling us that till Avraham came along, nobody achieved the zikna, this kind of sage quality, without getting old. To be old, you had to get old. But Avraham was old from when he was young. That's what the Gemara is saying. Until Avraham comes along, nobody has achieved zikna without bo bayomim. But Avraham has the both of them. You know, and we were also learning the Degamach Nefraim, forget, who says that until Avraham came along, God, the idea of God as Atikyom, God the Ancient One, hadn't come into the world. Because Avraham, through his chesed, he creates God, who before the creation of the world decides he wants to do good. That the creation of the world flows from God who is mative, toiv u'mative, that aspect of God that we call Atiko Kadisha, the Holy Ancient One. And Avraham really creates that Holy Ancient One. And so therefore Avraham is the one who the Torah calls Zokain, and he himself, Avram himself, by the end of his life, it becomes clear that he always had zikna, that Avram was always the sage, even when he was 3 years old. So now we can understand those Torahs, they're both equal Torahs, that Avram, with his life, creates God as the Atiko Kadisha, as the Holy Ancient One, before the creation of the world, who wants to create the world for no other reason than good, than chesed, than being mative. And Avraham himself is that, right? So there's a medrash. The medrash says, Eved Maskil, Eliezer says, Hikore no lefonai hayom. He's standing there by the well, and he's praying, Rabban Shalom, please make it happen for me. And the Medrash says, Eved Maskil Yimshol beben Mevish. Eliezer here is an Eved Maskil. He's a really enlightened slave. What was his haskalah? He said, you know, I'm a slave. And, you know, it could happen that people see me on the street without a master and this and that. You know, they'll see what I am and they'll just, somebody will take me and sell me into slavery. You know, I want to be a slave of Avraham. I want to be a slave in Avraham's house. So the Rebbe Rabbinim says, why is that called Eved Maskil? I mean, any slave would want to be a slave in Avraham's house. I mean, you know, if I had to be a slave, I'd rather be a slave in Avraham's house, right? Why is that called Eved Maskil? So he says, Eliezer saw himself as a slave, even though he was a Groyser Rebbe. Doyle Umashkia, he's called, the Gemara says, his Avraham refers to him as Damesek Eliezer, because he was Doyle Umashkia Torah's Rabbi Lacherim, that Eliezer could teach the whole Torah of Avraham Avinu. He was Boki, just as Avraham kept the whole Torah before it was given, even Erev Tavshilin. Eliezer was so great that he could teach the whole world Avram's Torah. For every person that he met, he could give over the Torah. So Eliezer could be anybody he wanted to be, right? But Eliezer knew, I'm a slave. not that he had been enslaved. Eliezer knew himself and who he is. And he knew himself for what? For as a slave. And he accepted himself for who he is. And he knew that that was who he is. It's hard for us to imagine what it means to accept yourself as a slave. Because, you know, we in this culture that we live in, freedom is the highest ideal, and it's mamish oila lamala and everything, the most powerful, the greatest gift is freedom and so forth. But for Eliezer, no. For him, the greatest gift was slavery, was never making a decision of his own, was never owning anything, was never having a responsibility for something or somebody else, only having duties and so forth. That for Eliezer was the greatest thing. And how does he know that? Because he knows himself. That's a pshat eved maskil, an enlightened slave, right? What's the greatness of that? That if you know who you are, then you can worship God 100%, because God is a reflection of you. So he can really see God as the Adon, God as the master. And you know, the first person to call God master was Avraham. So Eliezer can fit into the Torah of his Rebbe like nobody. Of course, Avraham bows to God and worships God as the master, but Eliezer goes into the role in a way that even Avraham can't do, because Avraham is the pure, because Eliezer is the purest slave. And I heard from Reb Zalman, who says that really the whole Muslim culture and especially the Arab culture, that it's really they think that they are descended from Avraham, but they're not. They're descended from Eliezer. And Islam is about seeing yourself as a slave to God and God as the master, right? Whereas Judaism, we say yes, but also imka avodim, imka vonim. Right, I have to be able to see myself as a child, and God is my father. Right, and in that sense, there's another relationship where, because a child can tell a parent what to do, a child can tell a parent who to be. A child can, you know, the parent can say to the child, "All right, you be in charge. You say where we're going today." Right, but father can say to his son, "All right, you decide which restaurant we're gonna eat." Right. Which movie we're going to see? An Eved can't. That's not. That's right. So, in fact, we were learning that one of the reasons that Avraham did not do Bris Milah until, you know, the Torah, the Gemara says, Avraham kept the whole Torah until even before Matan Torah, even Erev Tavshilin. No, if he kept the whole Torah, why didn't he do Bris Milah until he was commanded to? So Reb Lev Yitzchak says, because you know what Bris Milah means? God has given himself over to us to tell him what to do. You know, that the Bris Milah, what we do with our body and with our flesh, that is God saying, you know what, I'm giving it over to you to command. Because normally, you know, our body's not our own. You don't have rights. Your body is v'nishmatim oyle nafshisechem. It's yours, given as something to take care of. And here we do, we take it and we cut it. And so Reb Lev Yitzchak says, this is like a father saying to the child, "All right, I'm giving it over to you to command." Right. So, you know what? A father can say to a child, "I'm giving over to you. I'm giving my business over to you." But the child can't say to the father, "You know what? You're too old for this business. You know, I'm taking it." That does kemishinish, right? So if the message of Bris Milah is God giving power to the Yidden to rule the world, to rule the body, that you have to wait for the parent to say that to you. Okay, now you're in charge. You can't just relieve the parent of duties, you know, and say, all right, Dad, I'm taking over whether you like it or not. So that's why Avram had to wait for Bris Mila until God said to him, okay, because Avram really understood what that bris, what that covenant is that there's times where God's in charge and there's times when God is not in charge. There's when we tell God what to do, who to be. And that is the beginning of Avram Avinu, and that's the beginning of Yitzchak and Yaakov and the Jewish people, but that's not Eliezer, right? Eliezer is Eved Maskil. So the Rebbe Rabbinim says, this is why the Medrash Rabbo begins, Va'Avraham Zokein Bo Bayomem, Borchi Nafshi Es Hashem. It's a whole long Medrash. Borchi Nafshi Es Hashem. Well, what's Avraham being old got to do with Borchi Nafshi? So it's the same Rabbinim Torah. It's because it wasn't Avraham as a thinking person, as an intellectual. It was Avraham as a nefesh. Every bit of Avraham. It wasn't just like, you know, a consciousness or something like that. From the moment that Avraham was 3 years old, he was a zokein. He was this sage. And all of him, his whole body and his soul and his unconscious and his conscious and his subconscious, they're all of them Barchi Nafshi Es Hashem. They're all blessing God and telling God who to be. Because you know, V'haye Brocha, God says to Avraham, you are what, whoever you bless is blessed. So, what does Avraham do? He gives the blessing straight to God and says, Rubon Shalom, yeah? This is the first lesson of Brocha. When God gives you something, you have to give it straight back, right? So, Avraham Zokein Bo Bayomem, all his life, Avraham is a Zokein, and Barchi Nafshi, the Rebbe Rabbinim says, that's the meaning that Avraham's Nefesh being right from the very, very get-go, and not benefesh acheres, right? See, Avraham really understands who he is, like Eliezer understands that he's this Eved, and that his relationship with God is a relationship of master and servant to master. Avraham understands also who he is, with the nefesh, Barchi Nafshi, all of his nefesh, everything in Avraham understood and has this relationship with God. And the Rebbe Rabbunim ends by saying, V'doi ki omukhi. And you have to understand, this is a very deep Torah. Avraham zokein bo bayomim, shehoye zokein bekol hayomim. He was a sage in all his days. She'omar kosev bochi nafshi kaloyma, meaning to say, nafshi, my soul, v'loi benefesh acheres, and not somebody else's soul. So, you know, we have to worship God with our own soul. So, there's a Torah from the Noiz Deshe, right, the son of the Meir Shiloyach. He says, the meaning of the death of Sarah and how it's connected to the Akedah. He says, Avraham, when he comes back from the Akedah, as we were saying last week, he said, I'm not going away from here, God, until you promise me you're not going to test me anymore, right? And we were saying last week, what does that mean? You know, Avraham wasn't afraid of the test, but Avraham was afraid of the darkness that comes. What is the test? Should I and shouldn't I? That's not the test. The test is, what do I know and what don't I know? Am I sure? Am I not sure? That the test is the histalkus of the Or, that when God gives us the fogginess of not knowing what to do, the fogginess of not being connected or not feeling connected, where mamish I'm asking myself, what happened? What happened to me? What happened to God? Where's my connection? That's the test, right? Whatever happens then is, you know, how the test is going to work itself out. But the test itself, you know, so Avraham Avinu, before he left Mount Moriah, says, Ribbono Shel Olam, please, the Behirus, this clarity that I have, this connection with you, swear to me that you're not going to ever take it away again. And God swears, right? Binishbati Noam Hashem. God swears, never again is he going to remove that Behirus from Avraham. No. So the Ne'oiz Deshe says, and he brings from the Zohar Kodesh, and he brings Mekoiris, that really Avraham and Sarah are a metaphor for a body and a soul. That Sarah is the body and Avraham is the soul. So long as Avraham has a possibility of this confusion, so then the body, which is the vehicle for the desires, is here in this world. But once Avraham has this pure behirus and there's no possibility of this confusion and fogginess, then the body's gone. There's no body. It's all soul. That's the meaning of he comes back from Haramiria and Chai Sarah Sarva Tomas Sarah's gone. So, you know, we can't ain't might seen as a mikra midei pshuta, you can't take away the pasuk simple meaning that Sarah died, right? But he's saying that the connection with Avram Zokain and what is really happening. He brings the Zohar Kodesh, and we were learning this in the Sefer Yetzira. Beritzos Hashem darkei ish gam oivav yashlamim. When the desire for God is really the way of a person, then even his enemies make peace with him, and the enemy is the Yetzirah, right? So, in the body itself, we have the desires, the different desires. If the neshama, if the Ne'er Hashem, the light of God, is what fills a person, then a person sees differently. And the Ne'oiz Deshe says, you know, when one person looks at another person, what does he see? If you're a fleischiger person, if you're a goof person, if you're a body person, then you look at somebody, you only see their body, you don't see their neshama. If you yourself are connected, are unified, your neshama and your goof, your body and your soul, then when you look at somebody else, you see their soul. I mean, what is it? You know, when I talk to you, do I want you to see my body? Do I want you to see my outside? I'm hoping that you don't look at my outside, that you look at my inside when I'm talking to you, that you see my insides, that you see my soul, you see where I'm coming from, you see where I am. But you can't, if you yourself don't see your soul. This is what the Ne'oiz Deshe says. So the point where Avraham can see the soul of everything, because he himself, so he loses his body, so Sarah dies, so she's gone. And that's why the Medrash, he says that's why the Medrash ends by saying, Hamakurimai, bringing that, you know, that Pasuk, Baruch Hinafshi Sashem, and he goes on to expand on how all the Psukim in that Baruch Hinafshi Tehillim, and it talks about how God makes his rafters of water. Right, that God, the Medrash says that normally if a person builds a house and you build it upstairs, you've got to have big solid beams. But Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't have to have big solid beams because he can make his beams of water. Hamikora Mayim Aliyos. So the Ishbitzer says, you see, because water is desire. Water is the right side, left side is fire. Avraham is the right side of the tree. Avraham is water. At this point, Avraham and his desires are all in the realm of the neshama. All his desires have one purpose. And so you can build a world. You can build the world on water. You can build the world on desire. Behi Boram Ba'Avraham. I want to bless you and me that we build the world on our desires, that we tell God who to be, and that this be the Atik Yomin, this be the ancient Holy One who created the world to be good, and that we go with this Midah B'choch Chosmin, that we take that aspect of us which is Avraham Avinu, and we seal the whole thing. Like God says, you know, there's a Lehe Avraham, Lehe Yitzchak, Lehe Yaakov, but when it ends, we say Baruch Ata Hashem Mogen Avraham, right? Because there's that aspect of Avraham which tells God who to be from the beginning, and I bless you and me that we be the ones to tell God who to be at the end.